if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello and indeed ahoy hoy, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to BRB UK. Tis episode 294th of the 294. That doesn't mean we're only going to do 294, it just means that's how far we've got. That's right, six away from 100. I'm Dan, that's Tim, it's Coalman.
Yay!
Hi! 294, more like 29 snore, am I right?
You just slagged off your own podcast, you bellend.
Oh, damn, I did, didn't I?
Yeah, it's supposed to big it up and make it sound better than it actually is.
I mean, I'm cancelling the podcast due to aggressive behaviour.
Oh, from Tim?
No, King John Un.
I heard he was mean about you on Twitter once.
Was he?
Just because he pulled out of the podcast interview, there is no need to retaliate with equal pulling out.
Fire and fury.
Once again, we find ourselves on the brink of thermonuclear war. Apparently, the doomsday clock's currently set to 2.5 minutes to midnight, which is the closest it's been since the Cuban Missile Crisis. So there's a lovely thought.
When it gets to 2 minutes to midnight, will we get an Iron Maiden song out of it?
Oh, we could do, actually.
Nice.
And then 1 minute to midnight, interdimensional cephalopods.
That doesn't sound like we've got very long left to live, gentlemen. It's been a pleasure knowing you. We may not make it to the end of this podcast.
Yeah, should we be playing, like, Nearer Than Thy God to Thee on violins or something at this point?
It's been a pleasure knowing Coalman.
Hi!
Oh, thanks! We may not even make it to the news at this rate, but still.
Yeah, exactly. So, sorry, I apologise. It's now 2 minutes to midnight. It is now 2 minutes
to
midnight.
2 minutes to midnight!
Yep.
Got 2 minutes left, people. Say your prayers.
Which matches that of 1953, which is when the US tested its first thermonuclear device. Talking of skullduggery and, one would say, undercover military actions...
Ooh.
It's that time of the gaming release cycle where I've been on holiday again and I've got some blops on my COD.
Oh no!
I've got the COD blops.
You want to see yourself about that.
How many of those COD blops have you got?
Well, the problem is with the COD blops, right? It's more contagious this time because there's no thing you can do by yourself. It's all with other people. So the chances are you're going to pass around the COD blops a lot more than they did in previous years.
How many COD blops would a COD blops blop if a COD blops could blop COBs?
Four. Yeah.
Right, can I just say, this was the most ridiculous press conference I've ever seen. The level of, dude, and yeah, guns, America, was frankly ridiculous. It was like they could have just said, hey, we've made this game so that it loads up by itself when you put the disc in. Yeah,
I didn't see the press conference. I did see, I think, Giant Bomb talking about the press conference and having been at it and stuff, but they did seem to indicate that basically there was lots of cheering for things that they'd undone. That was essentially cheering, yay, we made mistakes before, basically. Well, it was like, what?
Well, it was more like an auditorium where there's one row of reporters and the rest are, big finger quotation marks here, but influencers.
Mouth-breathing codblops fanboys.
I mean, you can call them that too. Yeah, fans and influencers and selfie stick banging and waving, apparently. There was lots of that going on.
Hey, do you know who was there?
Who?
MC Scrubble Double. The Scrubble Double was getting his blops on.
That's how you got an invite, Dan.
Dan's got the exclusive.
Scrubble Double in the house, it's your boy.
I'm going to get you some fluorescent selfie sticks.
Yep.
But, yeah, sort of alluding from what Tim said, they brought out the two guys who've worked on all the Black Ops games to address the crowd and go, hey, is this going to be a game that contains wall running? And then they go, no! And then they write no in big letters on the screen. Yeah. And these are the two guys that brought in wall running to Black Ops.
Yeah, it's genius.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. It was like, hey, you love the we've done for years, don't you? Yeah! Do you want more of the same? Yeah!
But also, no. Like, you know, there was lots of cheering for... we've taken out the things we had in the last game.
No, 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 but that was because that was stuff they changed from what everybody was used to.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it says, do you want us to take out the small bit of innovation we actually nicked from another game?
Yep. Do you want us to sell you the same game again, but without single-player content?
FIFA 19! Wait, what?
Remember when we thought Titanfall was going to be huge, so we nicked all their mechanics? Well, we've taken all that out because it turned out it wasn't as popular as we thought it'd be.
But hey, it's good news. There's some new games on the block which we can nick the mechanics of. What if you took 100 soldiers and parachuted them onto an island?
Right.
That sounds fairly unique, Dan. Never heard of anyone doing that before.
What would you call this mode?
Oh, Royale with...
Royale with cheese.
Yes, Blackout Royale with cheese, please.
Yeah. So, the Battle Royale mode is called Blackout, but... We don't actually know there's 100 players. We've not been told how many players we can use in this. We're all going to play this.
they seem to be saying that was because, they hadn't decided how many players there was yet. But that may be because they're still testing it, basically.
Well, maths fans, apparently the map is about 1,500 times the size of Nuketown, which is a popular map that the kids like playing, I hear. Now, let's say... So that gives us... Let's call a... Well, we're going to make a measurement unit of area called the Nuketown, okay?
Okay.
There's 16 players per Nuketown.
Right.
So if it's 1,500 times... That means it's going to be a 24,000-player multiplayer shindig. You heard it here first. 24,000 players.
How many players was Mag back in the day? Was that 264?
256.
256, okay,
yes,
yeah.
Because everything is base rubbish. 2, Timothy.
Yes, okay.
Get with it.
I don't know, that didn't go particularly well for them having that many people, and I guess COD is probably popular enough that it could go above 100, maybe, and maybe they would want to have that tick point. But also, if the map's that large and you've got vehicles and stuff, then maybe, you need more than 100.
The amount of money Activision has, you'd hope they have dedicated servers for
this. Yeah, possibly.
So let's say then that Coblops 4 managed to achieve the all-time peak of Coblops 3. Bearing in mind we've now exclusively uncovered that the multiplayer mode is a 24,000-player competitive shooter, they would fill up precisely 2 1/3 and a bit servers.
In the press conference, was there any confirmation about whether there is player elimination in this mode?
No, it was literally just, hey, we hear you kids like Battle Royale. You know how Battle Royale works. I know, we've played them. We've nicked their chuffing ideas, mate.
But that seems to be like a fundamental thing of PUBG, the fact that you do get eliminated. But that's never been a thing for... the kind of fast twitch-based kind of Call of Duty type style of play kind of thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's... I mean, by the way they were describing it, essentially their massive map is they've put all of the popular multiplayer maps from previous Coblopses into a blender.
Just stuck them all together with super glue.
No. From how they were describing it, that roughly sounds like it. So I don't know whether it's going to be... Well, because you're right, because it is kind of a Twitch shooter. And, you know, that is in quite stark contrast to the rather... Plodding's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Measured, there we go. Measured gameplay associated with Battle Royale or Plunkbat's version of Battle Royale, anyway. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that, whether or not it's kind of they extend the time to kill it between players or I don't know how they're going to do it.
Does Fortnite have player elimination? I'm not sure. It does.
Yeah. It does, okay. Yes.
So that seems to be something that. I would guess that most of the player base of those games and possibly most of the player base of Call of Duty would understand from the term Battle Royale. I mean, it's interesting, and there's nothing that particularly, they're just calling it their blackout mode, and did they particularly, measure it up against the Battle Royale? Did they mention that phrase?
Yes, they specifically mentioned the word Battle Royale.
But blackout doesn't necessarily give anything away about what their plans are with it, no? Like, it doesn't particularly say anything.
I think their quote was, Battle Royale, blah, 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 you love the Coblops, blah, 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 yeah, guns, blah, 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 last man standing, blah, blah, blah.
Right,
It's very strange, because, love it or hate it, Call of Duty kind of took the first-person shooter genre and then built outwards from that.
You know, yes.
In a way that Halo had got to at a point and just built upon that. And... the only time we've seen them kind of throw this much innovation in, as I said earlier, was the Titanfall thing. It looked like the big rumblings from the press with Titanfall, and us especially are playing it at shows and stuff, that it was going to be this huge game and Call of Duty should be worried about this kind of thing. So they did nick some mechanics and bung them into Call of Duty Black Ops. And then now they reversed on that decision. They've got, rather than going, what's going to be big? They're going, what is big? Let's nick this battle royale thing and stick it. Like, it's very strange to see them do that.
But this game is weirdly, they framed it as a prequel to Black Ops 3, yes? But like, it exists between Black Ops 2 and Black Ops 3.
It's a pre-sequel, Tim.
It's a pre-sequel to the prequel. It's a pre-sequel to the prequel.
And it's set on the moon.
Yes. And there's an annoying Australian lady who will tell you about moon zoomies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but Hammerlock Sisters there. So
but then
right.
That seems weird that they kind of have to specify what period of time it comes in, even though they're not doing any single player content. That seems very deliberately like a, we threw out all the stuff you didn't like from the last game, don't worry kind of
thing.
Well,
I mean, to be fair, I mean, there is some single player content. There is some, but how they've done it, it's even more blatantly a tutorial mode for multiplayer, since it is essentially some canned missions featuring each of the 9 specialist characters, which are the ones where essentially some elements of them are pre-customized and they have particular strengths, particular weaknesses. So there is that.
So as you say, a more glorified just training mode for the main game.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. It's like, here's a sandbox to play about with this particular character so you can get to learn that character before you used in multiplayer.
The rumors going in that they weren't going to have the campaign mode and the single player mode was meant to be because basically Treyarch were working on this campaign and they wouldn't have had it done in time for launch, and they couldn't have got it to a point where they patched it in later that they were satisfied with. So they've taken that existing content and then they're going, and what it looks like they're going to do is weave it out within the multiplayer, which could work. You know, apparently there's the stats when it comes to single player in Call of Duty, it's not very high. People go into it, they use it mainly for trailers and showing off the game before it actually comes out, and then when the game comes out, it gets played once through, doesn't really get revisited unless you're like trophy hunting or anything, and that's a small percentage in itself. So
yeah, but they use the example of not many people played the Black Ops 3 single player, but I think that was because they steadily dialed back from single player anyway. I don't know about you, like, and we're not the biggest Call of Duty fans generally. We don't play a lot of the online sort of competitive multiplayer stuff generally. But also, they seem to be doing less and less to appeal to me as the person that did look to pick up the game for the single player generally anyway. And they may have had a really hard battle in getting me to come just for the single player content this year around anyway, so they probably haven't lost too much. But also, they seem to have dialed back from that, and the Black Ops 3 single player content seemed to get more criticism through just not being that lengthy or very good.
Well, it's, you know, it's quite ironic that they've kind of gone, hey, you know that idea we nicked from Titanfall, we're not doing that. But what we've nicked from Titanfall this time is weaving a story into the multiplayer. Oh, wait, what?
What we've nicked from Titanfall this time is giant metal. No, they haven't. Bugger. No, they haven't.
but actually, I think there are giant mechs in the zombies.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, because there's three zombie modes,
one of which looks like a love letter to Rise, Tim, you'll be pleased to hear, that features gladiatorial combat after you getting monged out on some dish of Olbas oil at some strange lady. Yeah, some Juggernog. You're off your tits on Juggernog.
Finally.
Is the setup. That's what's happened. And you're having an out-of-body experience. You wake up in a Roman Colosseum and you're chopping things to bits with a big stick.
And when is this coming out, Dan?
October 12th.
October 12th. On what platforms?
Everything under the sun.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to playing this on the Ouya.
Yeah, exactly. I believe it's going to be, well, the usual suspects, isn't it? It's PS4
new Atari.
Pro, Xbox One S/X, and PC.
Nice.
Good.
I believe.
Good. Good. Hmm.
Yes. Oh, no, actually, the only other thing I have to add, actually, before we move on to the next one for Cobblops, is the PC community has exploded that that Coblops 4 has found its way onto the Blizzard launcher, which has got a bunch of Overwatch and StarCraft fans going, they are sullying my game launcher.
Isn't this the same argument that came with Destiny 2?
Yeah, exactly. No, but this is people saying it straight up seriously. It makes me very upset that this is appearing on my Blizzard launcher. Have they no idea what they're doing?
Why do they care? Like, what difference does it make?
Some of these people are very maladjusted individuals,
right,
Tim.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
Is there any sort of sane reason why it would affect them in the slightest, other than the fact they have to see the name in a list?
I could kind of see the argument of, could you add in an option to hide an icon? I mean, for example, I couldn't give a rat's ass that World of Warcraft is a launchable thing from the Blizzard launcher. Just option to hide the icons. But anyway, these people are getting very up in arms about it.
If you are mad about Activision Games appearing on the... I mean, I think the reason for it is it was hard enough to, you know, swallow the news that Blizzard and Activision partnered up, and then to see the Activision Games appearing on Battle.net, that's quite a tough pill to swallow in itself, because you've got that deniability before that happens. But it's not like they're...
pretend that world's not happening.
Yeah, it's not like they're renaming it to the Activision.net or something like that. Yet...
That'll be next year, I can guarantee it. But anyway, that's not all the military base fun times you can have.
Hoorah!
Hoorah, indeed. Hoorah. Battlefield 5 was also announced.
Ooh!
I know, right? And we're going back to World War II, where the Battlefield series kind of began with Battlefield 1942. And it is going proper face-to-face, head-to-head, musket-to-musket, bayonet-to-bayonet with Coblox.
Bayonet is involved.
Yeah, ooh, she is. She's nice. Yeah, I know.
Women on the battlefield, eh? Cool.
Next thing you know, they're going to be on the bloody reveal image of my... Now, actually, I have to say, I was quite pleased to see that, actually. I thought that was great.
Apparently, other people, not so, though, Dan.
Why? But why? Why?
Dan,
why?
Look, apparently, Dan, women ruin everything.
The minute you let women on the cover of a Battlefield game, what are you going to let them do next? Vote? Hey?
I know, right?
Is that what you want? Because that's what will happen.
I know. I should, yes.
Yeah, I've seen it.
One should be careful what one wishes for, right?
It's very weird, because there was the Battlefield, the World War One game. A couple of years ago.
Battlefield 1.
Was it just called Battlefield 1? I can never remember.
Yes.
And then
yeah,
Battlefield 5 is Battlefield V for Victory. That's pretty clever in itself. But
they
anyway,
can count better than Xbox, though, to be fair.
Yes.
So.
But anyway, Battlefield 1 had... it was a black guy on the cover image, and that set off a lot of arguments online.
Forgot that was even a thing.
Yeah, and they were like, well, now that's all died down, let's get sexist again. It's
Jesus Christ.
It's not great.
No, I mean, it's just... Oh, get over yourselves, people. Come
on. Some arguments I kind of get when I read, like, the big things of, okay, women were in factories and they were doing this for the war effort and this for the war effort, but they weren't fighting on the front line. If there's someone who's got, like, a historical basis, then I can kind of get that. And at the same time, it's a goddamn video game. I don't bloody care.
Someone saying it, you know, it's being unrealistic. And then someone put up, like, a succession of screenshots in a thread that I kind of, well, GIFs and screenshots that I put up and kind of retweeted was just, but it was all like three men standing on the back of a horse with flamethrowers and just like a succession of like the most ridiculous things you can see in a Battlefield game previously that were nowhere near the realms of realism, but people didn't care because it was a video game.
Oh yeah, in Battlefield 1, you could play as an Italian bloke in essentially an Iron Man armor suit,
yeah,
shooting down planes from the ground. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things which, you know, if you're going to pull the "it isn't historically accurate," I mean, that's a bizarre set of adenoids to appear in the throat of a first-person shooter fan. I mean, yeah, as with anything in most modern entertainment culture that's an act of pseudo-fiction, there are going to be some liberties taken with the source material in order to deliver a better, more rounded experience, and this is just one of them. In World War II, actually, women did serve, admittedly not in the trenches, but they were certainly sent to Nazi Germany to act as undercover spies, which is pretty chuffing scary if you ask me to be one of them.
I believe they would say things like, listen to me carefully for I will only say this once.
But there was also like serious efforts on the kind of home front of like code breaking and stuff like that that was invaluable to the war and other stuff like that that seems to be forgotten about all too easily.
And in countries that were this great nation of Britannia that we are, it's in France, in kind of the Eastern Bloc. I mean, kind of women were a major force in like the resistance fighting against the Nazis that was going on. So, sorry, closed-minded people, you just need to shut up and get with the times.
Also,
I don't know how true it was, but someone was like, and I saw someone, it was more in a conversation retweet, but someone was saying that 99.9% of the people that died in World War II were men. And I'm like, well, just because they were crap at war. I'm not meaning that disrespectfully. I didn't even bother to say that in the conversation. But look, for instance, like, my grandfather fought in World War II. Yep. He lost a lot of friends in World War II. It's not something that I'm particularly disrespectful about. But if you think it's disrespectful to put female in there to better represent people, then I don't know where to go with you on that conversation. I did also see, and the joke was made by a woman, so this perhaps makes it better, and it was definitely a joke, but I did quite like the fact that she referred to it as battlefield vagina, which I thought was quite funny, but still.
That is a good way of kicking off some heel heat, as we wrestling fans like to call it.
Right. But,
anyway, just to argue, one last argument for women in World War II settings. Agent Peggy Carter, really good TV show.
There we go. But so Battlefield 5 is essentially a bit more Battlefield, presumably larger, shinier, with more refined controls, more things to drive around in, lots of tanks. Apparently there was a bit of an obsession with tanks. They're going to kind of reprise what they did a little bit in Battlefield 1, where it's kind of like these kind of vertical slices through kind of several different characters' stories, rather than just being a grisly GI or British soldier or soldier from whatever nation you want, but probably knowing the video game industry, it's going to be largely American or British. Think of that what you will. They're actually going to kind of do some more vertical slices throughout the lives of resistance fighters, people perhaps more on the fringes of certain bits of combat, and I think that's really interesting, showing the war from a number of different perspectives.
Yeah, that's what they did with Battlefield 1, and it worked really well.
They've referred to it as War Stories, I think it was.
Yeah, that's
it?
The one. That's what they called it.
They've said
one.
That will be, you know, the structure for this game by the sounds of it as well. It sounds interesting.
Did either of you play Battlefield 1?
Yes.
Okay, because the opening to that game is very powerful, where it's just it's going through the trenches and it's switching to a sniper, to a guy on the front line, to a guy in a tank, to a mechanic. You know, it makes a very kind of powerful point at the start. Each time you're one of these characters, you do play till the character dies, and then it will suddenly black out the screen, tell you the player that character's name, and then the year of birth to death, and where they died. And yeah, it's quite a strong message until Italian Iron Man pops up later. So.
But I have to say, I don't know about you guys, but from just seeing the kind of just seeing the kind of trailers of both of the games and what they were saying about the content of both of the games, I'm definitely more coming in interested in the Battlefield 5, whereas previously I'd bought more Call of Duties than Battlefields. Battlefield 5 appealed to me just more just because it has single player content, basically.
Yeah.
Well, that, and also I like what they're doing with kind of the companies, as it were. So you and a bunch of mates, you know, depending on what roles you all play, you all level up different bits of your companies, unlocking customization gear, really kind of doubling down on the, you know, for example, in these kind of games, I always tend to play a support role because I cannot shoot straight for the life of me. So I tend to be the one hiding behind a crate throwing band-aids at people.
Medic!
I played an entire game where I refused to shoot at all. I was just going around and healing people, and that was the only game I won online.
Yeah, but it does sound like this has actually made the medic even more valuable as well, no? Like, apparently you can't heal up to 100% unless the medic kills you, basically. So that makes a big difference. And you can drag people off the battlefield and stuff like that, a la Army of Two.
Oh my god. That's where you go.
Well, yeah, that's
Jesus.
That was an EA property, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, all right. I'll let you have that. Can you high five as well?
Yeah, possibly. I doubt it. But yeah, like, and as you say, like, just the idea behind that and the kind of structure of the game, and also just the actual trailers themselves, like, the destructible environment sounded quite cool. And I also listened to a whole interview, I think it was on the Angry Joe show, where they kind of delved into some of the more details. But there's kind of a thing where you can actually fortify something that's already been destroyed a bit, type of thing. So if a building gets blown up a bit, you can put a gun emplacement in it and put like anti-tank devices down and do things to kind of fortify it at something that's already been blown up, so that you can, you know, even though something, a building's been partially destroyed and is therefore less cover, it won't necessarily stay like that throughout the entirety of a multiplayer game, which sounds interesting.
Yeah, and you can kind of like kind of make that fortification, if you can kind of like dig in properly on an area and properly defend it, kind of, but perhaps a little noddle ahead to the slight tower defense elements that you see in games such as Fortnite these days.
That sounds interesting, because you get the front line moving through different areas as well, no?
Yeah, and you know, I think because one of the points they made in the broadcast about it was that you can, I mean, destructible environments are great, but after a certain point, everything has been leveled, and then it is just sniper madness if it's like that. So trying to kind of keep, kind of have that ability to kind of still change the shape of the battlefield in that way is quite cool as well. But the other big bit of massive news is, one of the things that I must say did irk me with previous Battlefield titles is this idea of the premium pass to unlock all the multiplayer goodness. That is no longer going to be a thing. In fact, there's not even going to be expansion packs. It's all going to be you pay once,
mm-hmm.
or you pay for the title, and then you have access to everything. There was no real mention of microtransactions.
They did state later on in the Angry Joe thing I saw that there will be cosmetic microtransactions, but they won't be anything that enhances or gives you an advantage in gameplay, basically.
Yeah, and there are, by the sounds of it, some quite deep bits of customization that kind of actually, the things you unlock pander to your play style. So presumably if you're a medic, you get kind of medic-y type unlocks for your character and cosmetic customization with that. So,
as a doctor, Dan,
yes,
medic-y, is that a legitimate term?
That is an essential term. It's excellent. One of the complicated terms. I don't expect to understand. It's very complicated.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry your pretty little head about it, mate. It's fine.
Kind of round out that is generally good news, not just for Battlefield, but it's generally good news that EA seem to be listening to their fan base, having seen the reaction to Battlefront 2.
It's what they did for Battlefront 2. Do you not remember? Before it came out, they went, no season pass, no DLC, all the DLC's free. They're doing the same thing. They just go, we're taking away the premium pass because we proved this model.
But they are also saying that the microtransactions will only be cosmetic, which I think is the right way to go. And they seem to be learning their lesson and at least taking steps in the right direction. Whether they're totally in the right direction or not, we'll see at the release of the game. But they seem to be at least listening and paying attention.
Okay. I guarantee there will be a gold or platinum edition or something that you'll buy to get access to the game early or something, because that's something they always bundle in with the premium pass as well.
Almost without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, but I think both Coplops and Battlefield 5 are doing the pre-order and get early beta access, that kind of stuff. So there we go. But when's it out, I hear you ask, Coleman?
When's it out, Dan?
Thank you, Coleman. This is out on October the 19th.
Oh.
Precisely 1 week after the Coplops.
It's been 1 week since you Coplopped me. Sorry, I couldn't even get it out.
No.
Well, that
what
was
platforms,
the problem,
Dan?
That was how you got the Coplops in the first place.
That is unsurprisingly out on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Excellent. Boots on the ground.
Good. Boots on the ground, blops in your cod. That's it. That's the news.
Good.
Good. Points of interest, Coleman. There are some, apparently.
Dan, there's some announcements, and I tell you, Sea of Thieves has got a big one coming.
It's got a big one coming, it has. It's got a big one coming from down below.
Rare as detailed, very small detail. But anyway, The Hungering Deep, which they released a teaser for last week.
You say detailed.
Yeah.
There's going to be stuff that we're doing, and it's going to be stuff. And it's a time-limited campaign where you'll get some stuff.
It's a campaign where you have to follow the orders of a guy called Merrick. He's the bard in the trailer who's missing an eye. I believe he's missing an eye and he's got a patch over an eye, so he's probably blind. But anyway, and he knows tales of ancient creatures that live under the sea, and one in particular that took his eye, and he's talking about him, and it's all going to be about you hunting this big monster for special loot.
It's Moby Dick, basically.
Is it really?
Well,
I was expecting like kaijus or something.
Then you get swallowed by a whale.
I want pirate
in the whale.
Pacific Rim. That's what I want. It's a level 5 kaiju. Get in your wooden boat.
You're going to get Pacific Rimmed, mate, is what's going to happen.
But anyway, as well as the campaign, there's going to be a couple of new tools and items that are introduced. There's going to be a drum that works like all the other instruments within the game, and there's also a trumpet which you can use as a trumpet, but it's a speaking trumpet. You can use it for players to hear you louder in the game because the voice chat works from a distance as well. And there's going to be a number of flags. The two that they spoke about are white flag and Jolly Roger.
Love a flag.
Well, the idea is there's modes attached to the flag, so if you wave the white flag, then it tells people to stop battling you. If you wave the Jolly Roger, then it tells people that you're out looking for a fight, basically.
Right.
Or whether or not people pay any attention to this whatsoever is another thing entirely.
I'm wondering if that's going to be like the incognito mode on GTA Online, if there's going to be some kind of mode attached to that.
Yeah, there is potential for abuse of that, though, where, you know, because I think in the early days of GTA 5 with the incognito mode, people would start a ruckus, and then as soon as they were in hot water, immediately went incognito.
Yeah, that's why they had to add a cooldown time for it, and also once you're in, one of the things of the incognito mode is once you're in it, you can't start missions, and you there's certain things you can't do when you're in incognito mode. You're essentially just going, I need the toilet, and I can't pause the game. Here, I'm now invisible.
Call Mango Toilet!
Yeah, anyway, that's going to launch on the 29th of May.
I love stuff getting released or rumoured that is going to be produced in minuscule quantities and I'll never be able to get unless I sell a kidney.
Okay, I'll get to that bit in a moment, but the Nintendo 64 Mini is a long rumoured thing. By long, I mean a year, probably now. But there's a trademark that's been filed in Japan that's fueling further speculation that the N64 Mini console is on its way. If you look on Japanese Nintendo, there's a trademark application on there, and it's listed to cover purposes including video game program, controller, joystick, and download capable electronic game program. What you were talking about, though, with the consoles releasing and then selling out super quick, Nintendo have stated before and recently as well that they're looking to relaunch the Classic and the Nintendo Classic and the Nintendo Super Nintendo Classic as well. So I'm assuming that they've worked out how to do, you know, stop producing now. So hopefully that's something we're going to see in the future. And if they are launching another mini console, then hopefully we're not going to get this everything sold out within an hour.
I wonder if the subsequent consoles will be as popular as those first ones.
Now the Switch has launched, probably not. And the nostalgia attached to the Nintendo Entertainment System and the SNES over the 64 and the GameCube is probably huge because, you know, at this point, the PlayStation was the big rival against the N64, and the PlayStation outsold the N64 by a lot. So,
yeah, but then I don't know. I imagine there might be more people that are more active gamers that might be more interested in it, possibly. Who knows? But also, just to squeeze in two other quick bits of semi-interesting Nintendo news. I don't know if you saw, but they announced a new 2DS this week as well.
Oh, one. They cancelled that thing, yeah?
Quite randomly, but...
It's a 1DS, it's just a line.
Oh, is it Line Wobbler?
No, but, yeah. Well, it's a new 2DS that has Mario Kart 7 pre-installed in it, which they've also been advertising on TV, weirdly, as well, but anyway.
Okay, and there's also the line of... Well, like the classics games, like Platinum for the PlayStation, that kind of thing.
But but on the 3DS again, weirdly, yeah. And not on the Switch, which seems odd.
So is this pretty much, it looks pretty much like a 3DS XL, but without the 3D.
That's yes, what the 2DS...
that's exactly what it is, and with Mario 7 preloaded.
But the 2DS is... The 2DS was that one piece thing, wasn't it?
No. The last revision, the last time they released the 2DS XL...
Was already the XL,
It was the clamshell design.
It's just a slightly different...
I'm confused!
Okay, so they released... They announced the 2DS and it was like a singular thing, like you were saying. Yeah. Then they released a revision for the 2DS XL and it was the clamshell design, which was black and neon blue, I think. Because everyone looked and went... Because they released these things for children, and then all the adults went, well, I like the idea of a 2DS. I don't use the 3D function. I want a cheaper DS without the 3D capabilities. And then they actually released that version, and by this point, everyone went, well, I want a Switch, so...
I think you mentioned the classics that are coming out, but then also there has been a price drop for anyone's interested in the Switch. There seems to be a price drop on that in the UK at the moment as well, so you can pick up Switches for cheaper. That kind of adds more fuel to the fire. There's probably a revision coming, as we know. I think it was down to 240, which is not bad.
Ooh, from 275, that's not bad.
My grandfather's hammer.
What a savings. 275, yes, just 275.
So, yeah.
275.
And that was advertised on Eurogamer earlier today, so you can check that out for a few bits and bobs there. And also maybe of interest to Switch owners, the Sushi Striker demo came out today as well, so you might want to download that. There you go.
Man, I'm going to be quite annoyed if months after buying a Switch, that a brand new spanky one that's twice as good gets released.
We can mod ours to pirate games and stuff, so we can sell ours for thousands, then probably
get your entire Nintendo network account banned.
No, we sell our Switches,
right?
And we buy new Switches.
Literally, the price of ours may be kept more buoyant by the fact that people want.
Not looking to sell them, Tim. I'm looking to sell it.
I know, but I'm just saying. I sell it. I know someone that literally bought one before they managed to actually put the new security on, basically. So,
okay, good. Hey, right, that's one of your Nintendo stories. What's your other one, Tim?
No, that was both of them.
That was two or three of them. That's fine.
Yo ho, Nintendo life for me.
They are.
RuneScape Classic shut down.
Oh dear.
Or shutting down, sorry. So RuneScape Classic is the...
But it's only 17 years old, Coleman. It's so wise to have to die so young.
It's the legacy servers for the original RuneScape. They released it in 2001. That's shutting down now. The developer said it's due to... Basically, they are vulnerable to third-party macro programs and bots, which they see as a serious problem for community safety. And that's obviously not going to affect the modern-day version of RuneScape, but you have until the 6th of August to play the RuneScape Classic, if you wish, which hasn't aged at all well. And if you do go in, stay away from scorpions. They will mess you up.
Yeah.
So, I've recently played.
Get over here.
It's not aged well at all.
No.
You remember before they re-released Crash Bandicoot as the HD thing, and everyone was like, oh, Crash Bandicoot's such a great game. We're saying, again, it's not that good. And then
go and play it.
And then
you finally play it,
and you're like, oh, yeah, it was a bit rubbish. That's kind of like RuneScape for me. I was like, RuneScape was a cracking game. Oh, I love RuneScape. Go back and play it. Yeah, it's not that good.
Anywho.
Haven't really got release dates this week, but I will say that H1Z1 has released this week on the PlayStation 4 as an open beta. It has drawn 1.5 million downloads since Tuesday. And
It's a lot of people to draw.
Yeah, probably aided by the fact it's free. So,
yeah, there is that.
But it's already seen 200,000 concurrent players on the PS4 since launch.
That is good.
Not bad. And as of the time of the show's release, unless you're on the PC and you've already played it because it came out a day early, Dark Souls Remaster will be available on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Not the Nintendo Switch, because that's going to launch later in the summer, because they've got to add a funky mode, I believe.
Yeah, we need it easier for our Switch owners.
Yeah, I need a funky mode. Funky Kong and everything now.
I had a funky mode this morning.
Did you really?
It was lovely. Didn't last very long.
Was the missus home?
No.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
And lastly, we got a couple of updates. I said they're very northern, didn't I? Yeah. Updates.
We've got a couple of updates.
We've got a couple of updates. Rocket League.
Rocket League.
Not Rocket League's getting top
Rocket
date.
League.
It's getting top date, Dan.
When top date Rocket
League. I'm going to stop that in case my dad hears this and slaps me for making fun of Leeds. Right, Rocket League's getting a set of beach-themed content in the form of its Sandy Shores update from the 29th of July. If you watch the trailer, it's got a very 80s theme to it.
Yep. Didn't President Trump sleep with Sandy Shores, or is that something
like Sandy Beaches, something like that? I don't know.
Claire Midia, I think.
Claire Midia, that's
yeah, that was the one.
Connie Lingus.
No, I don't think he. I don't think he would probably engage in that. There's nothing in it for him.
Right. So if you watch the trailer, it's sporting an 80s theme, very Miami Vice. The update features a brand new beach arena and also new cars, items, and accoutrements you come to expect. One of the ones I liked, if you score a goal, you remember the explosion anime. We haven't played Rocket League for a while, but when
have
you score,
you guys picked it up on Switch, by the way.
I have.
No, I haven't.
Is it any good on Switch?
It's not bad. It was like £2 at Christmas as well, oh, okay. So I picked it up.
I should have picked it up then.
I didn't have a Switch then. Curses!
No.
No, neither did I.
It comes to sale a lot, so just hold fire and you'll see it pop up soon enough. But you remember when you score a goal and the big explosion happens and it blasts all the cars away? There's one of the power-up items they replaced the explosion with loads of beach balls flying out.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's in the trailer, you can see. And lastly, Dragon Ball FighterZ DLC Pack 2. That is going to launch on the 31st of May, and that contains Fused Zamasu and
Bless
Super
you.
Saiyan Blue Vegeta.
I understand this game less and less with every character they release.
Basically, they're two fused
at
characters.
At the best of time, Dragon Ball confuses this out to me, and this is just making things worse.
So these are two characters that would have been fused together, not using the fusion dance as you may think.
That's what I naturally went to.
I have a question. Not finished explaining that. The mystical earring that will force their bodies to fuse, and once the fusion has happened, it's meant to be permanent. In this case, there's two characters that have been fused, so it's actually four characters you're getting for your price of two.
So what's Trials Fusion?
That's a motorbike game.
Right, okay.
What's Forza Horizon Zero Dawn?
Get out.
Racing Dinosaur. Sorry, I heard that this week.
Actually, that'd be amazing. Actually, although that Cro-Magnon Racing back on the Amiga tried to do that. It was terrible.
Yeah, sorry, someone mentioned that on a different podcast this week and it was very funny to me.
What, Cro-Magnon?
No, the Forza Horizon Zero Dawn. The coming together of a PlayStation and an Xbox studio to make something amazing.
Anyway, that's your news, that's your announcement, so we've got time to quickly discuss what we've done played.
Dan,
what?
Did you pay attention and get the Onrush beta and play it like we told you to?
No, I didn't, because I had to do boring grown-up stuff.
Fool!
Over 4 days, you couldn't have played it once. My voice went.
Yeah, I did.
Once?
No, I didn't. I didn't play it. I did download it, but I didn't get the opportunity to play it. So.
Oh, Dan, you missed out on a lot of fun.
I heard it was all of the fun time.
I really enjoyed it. We managed to top out our levels as well.
Yeah.
So tell me about the fun you had with the Onrush beta.
Well, we've spoken about Onrush previously. I'll pull up the show number as soon as I can find it, but... We spoke in great detail about Onrush. There's no need to go into it too much, but the beta, it was a mixture.
Are you listening, Timothy?
Yes.
Oh, it's just the passive-aggressive episode.
Yeah.
So the beta, it contained the countdown mode and what was the other one called, Tim?
Rush mode.
So the countdown mode, it's driving
through. Who's in the name of the game?
Sorry?
The clue is in the name of the game.
Thank you. In the game, you play in teams of five. You get different types of vehicles, some motorbikes, some cars, and then some kind of big van trucky things.
Big bang trucky things.
Not what
I've
I said, but I'm
them
going
in the big
with
bang,
that.
But anyway.
Anywho. The Countdown mode is where you all have to drive through gates, and the more gate you've got a time limit, the more gates you drive through.
It's a massacre of the Bill Gates family. It's dreadful.
the timer expands the more gates you drive through. The quicker you get to them, the more time...
I haven't forgiven you for Windows Vista!
The more time you get added onto your clock. So if you are not paying attention, like many of the people we had in our team, and trying to run people off the road instead of driving through the gates, you will lose, even though you're scoring points for knocking people out. That's not the way of winning the game. The rush mode, you get through burning nitrous and boost, which is a special mode you build up from burning loads of nitrous in the game. And the more of that you burn, the more points you get. You can also get score multipliers for doing things while boosting, like knocking people out or doing cool stunts and things and tricks. And those are the two modes we played. Throughout the beta, you could unlock bonuses to use in the actual game, some tombstones, which are the little icons that are left once you've died in the game and you come back in. You'll see a little icon where you were, and other players will too. And I think it can be used as a power-up.
I think you get either a speed boost or just a rush bonus from picking them up, basically.
Also, there's paint jobs and a special vehicle if you top out your levels, which I think was 25 or 35?
25.
Yeah. 25, okay. So, yeah, me and Tim managed to do that. And then once I'd finished the beta, I went, yep, putting down my pre-order. Love this game. Yeah. Can't wait.
It's a bit too good, basically. Yeah.
How was it for you, Tim?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I mean, most of the content they had up for the majority of the beta was the stuff that Coleman and I had played before, which I think gave us a slight advantage, but we seemed to maintain...
We were definitely ringers in this.
Yeah, we seemed to maintain being pretty good throughout the beta, so hopefully that'll transfer over to the main game. But then also they put up a new... They kind of extended the beta. I guess this was planned, but they did announce that they were extending the beta for another couple of days and added another track to that as well. So we got to try out one of the tracks that we hadn't played before, and it seems to play really well no matter what. Still haven't played on the level that they showed at EGX Res, which was the kind of golf stage that looks really cool. So I'm really looking forward to getting hands-on with the final game, seeing the differences. I'm wondering how much they're going to tweak, because I don't know from what you saw, Coleman, like we tended to stay in the Titans most of the time, and that seemed to be prevalent throughout that they were the better vehicles and seemed a bit OP.
Which one is
the
Titan?
The Titan's a really big truck, and it has the added advantage of it also spreads a shield to the rest of your teammates if they're in close vicinity to you. So it means that as a team, if you're sticking together and just barreling through, especially in like the countdown mode where you're going through the gates, being as a team with a couple of people with those shields means that it's really hard for the opposition to knock you out. The flip side is that the rush mode power is less powerful than, say, with the more kind of weaker vehicles like the motorbikes. But because that doesn't come around as often as just the general kind of, the general kind of racing around when you're not in the rush mode, it does mean that they seemed a little bit... It seemed foolish to go with something weaker, like generally kind of thing. So I hope they kind of balance that out a little bit. But generally, it's just balls to the wall fun 100% of the time, basically. I saw so many people saying that they were having a really good time with it on Twitter as well. So
can I just say, if your balls are to the wall, that's a very unusual driving position you've adopted, Tim.
Yes.
It is. Just low
to the floor.
Just to sort of top this off as well, I've recommended this game to a few people that have gone, yeah, I don't really like racing games, and have played a lot of it. So... It's definitely a recommend from this end. I've checked on the episode numbers. We last spoke about this on episode 289 at Rest, and 285 after me and Tim went to the preview event for Codemasters. It is super fun. Go listen to those episodes if you want more details. But it's definitely recommended.
You should go do those things. It looks like then me and Tim have just been playing a couple of games that have been out for a while, but are now on the Switch. I'm just going to go
I'm interested in yours, Dan, I have
you
to say.
Sexy Switch boys.
Yeah, I've got the Switch boys.
Switch boys. I don't know if that's good or bad. Anyway, go on. Let's paper over.
You sound like
bags.
You should be a street gang in the 80s and pulling out switchblades and be like, hey, looks like you walked into the wrong
what
side
was
of the
that
tracks.
Accent?
There wasn't. There was going to be an accent, and I swiftly changed my mind.
Thought, no, that'd be a bad idea. Back out of that accent quickly.
You could be like, looks like you walked into the neighborhood of the Switch Boys.
We're going to give you a really nasty Chinese burn.
Well, then why did you have a switchblade? Very inconsistent street gang.
It's actually a comb.
Right, talk about Axiom Verge, Dan.
Axiom Verge. Axiom Verge is...
Because as far as I know of this, every time Tim's playing the Switch, he goes, Dan's still bloody playing Axiom Verge. What is this game?
Axiom Verge is a... Well, it's a bit of a love letter to Metroid, I think, so I would describe it. It's kind of got a bit of a... Very much kind of echoing or aping the visual style of Super Metroid, the 16-bit installation in the series.
The best Metroid.
The bestest Metroid. And it kind of tells a tale of this guy's being pulled from our world, our dimension, into like this kind of alternate reality that's kind of run by machines. And it well, a bit like that. But there's kind of there's things about questioning what it is to be human. Is he human? Is he not human, this guy? What's the role of all these mysterious AIs? And what happened to the civilization that they inhabited previously? So it actually goes a bit deeper than I was expecting. And there are, as you would expect from a Metroid type title, there's kind of the progression through the levels is very much dictated by which power-ups you get. It is quite a tough game, I will tell you that. And sometimes you do feel like you're banging your head against a brick wall. You can sometimes get into areas that you shouldn't be in yet and just get your ass handed to you repeatedly as a result.
I love when games do that.
Exactly.
Like, you should
here
not
are,
be
sir.
Here, mate.
Here's your ass.
Here's your ass.
There we go.
So, mate, you've just walked into the territory of the Switch Boys.
Yeah.
You got your balls to the wall and you're, here is your ass.
I'll put your balls to the wall and I'll give you a Chinese burn.
Don't Chinese burn my balls, please, Dan.
Whoa, dude, how would you even do that? That sounds nasty. That does not sound good. Anyway.
I mean, it depends how old you are and the elasticity's kicked in.
Yeah, exactly.
Carry on.
Basically, what you're saying, Coleman, is are you going for the low-hanging fruit or not with that statement, really, aren't you?
No, he was saying carry on because we are fast turning into a carry-on film in podcast form.
Oh, well, I was actually saying less Chinese burn and more time flat.
Why do people listen to this show?
Good. Dan, I have a question to get us back on track, hopefully.
Why do people listen to this show?
I do kind of like what I've played of like Metroidvanias, and I haven't played that much Metroid, but what was the one on Xbox 360 that came out?
Shadow Complex.
Yeah, that I really enjoyed. How platformy is this game and how kind of heavy on the platforming is it?
Quite heavy on the platforming.
Right, okay, so it sounds like possibly not for me.
I would say there are some fiddly platforming bits. And I would say try it. Yeah, I probably wait for it to be on sale. I'm sure there's going to be sales coming up as there's...
Well, I was going to say, rather than just a blanket try Axiom Verge, whenever a platformer comes out, Tim, how about you try it before going, yeah, it's a platformer, I don't really like platformers.
Yeah, no, but, right, there are certain platformers, and we'll mention them, and I was mentioning the one that's coming out soon, there's the Yuki's Island Express or whatever it is, then that's like... interesting because it does something interesting with the platform in terms of like pinball stuff, and I liked the demo I played of that. But yeah, like I don't know, that if I'm talking about a platformer, it either has to be pretty like doing something unique and interesting, or it's just very good. Basically,
all we ask, Tim, is that you just occasionally broaden your horizons. That's all we ask.
Well, that's why I was asking, Dan. That's why I was asking.
That's why, because what? Well, but you should. There are some tricky platformers, but it doesn't mean that it's a bad platformer.
Should broaden your horizons, much like the people that said they didn't like racing games that I recommended On Rush to.
Good.
Anyway, back to Axiom Verge.
Broaden horizons. Horizon Zero Dawn, yes.
Oh,
that is.
Forza Broaden Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah, another question then. What kind of price point is it at then? How easy is it to enjoy?
I think I paid £12.99 for it.
Okay, so not bad.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's still the price. But, I mean, it's... One of the criticisms I would have about it is that it feels like it's a lot more... toing and froing and not great signposting of where the next the next step in the critical path through the game
is. So kind of trial by fire, basically.
Yeah, exactly. You can
and trial and error.
And there's no no fast travel between save points either. So you can, and you can't annotate the map. So you can sometimes find yourself going, "Oh right, I think I can go there now," thinking it's an area that you can now unlock thanks to a particular collectible you picked up. But that it turns out that no, you haven't got that one yet, and you've just spent 30 minutes going from one side of the map to the other.
Right, okay.
So that is the only sort of frustrating thing. But, you know, it's done really well on all the platforms it's been released on, which is just about everything these days, apart from iOS and Android devices. And, yeah, I think it's a corking game, and it suits the Switch really well, that you can just kind of, you know, pick it up and play. And, you know, there's a... And in that kind of game, sometimes you do just need to... You find yourself getting frustrated with it because you haven't got the right... Is it because I haven't got the right power-up, or is it because I'm being an amazing dumbass?
Little from column A, little from column B.
Yeah, yeah. Probably both of those things. And it's good that, you know, the very nature of the Switch enables you just to take a breather, as it were. So there we go. But yeah, I enjoy it very much, Lee. And I think you were too. You were too, Tim.
Okay.
What about me?
I have to look up. You don't enjoy anything, Coleman. You're a soulless husk of a man.
Well, I know you'd enjoy it, Coleman.
Yeah.
I know you would. I know you would. Because yeah, it's because you, unlike Tim, you try things. You try things out.
Also, I love platformers and Castlevanias. Metroidvanias, sorry. I forget we call it that.
My only worry with you, Tim, is that if you try something new, you're then going to spend 4 hours every podcast talking about
it, just in case
you like it. And we're going to have to give you a bloody another show. You know, we had to take you to piss off and take your VR nonsense to another show. And if you try a platform that you like, is it going to be, well, what was interesting about this platform is that it was flat. And then I jumped to the next platform, and this one had a little bit of an incline.
I have a question.
Yes.
Now Tim's got a VR podcast.
Yes.
How long before we get annoyed and he gets a Switch podcast?
Is that where we're going with it? I'll just get separate podcasts for each topic.
If you talk too much, you just get a new show.
Let me go on about board games for a while, then, yeah?
All over hoops I've had to jump through, Com, to, you know, keep the illusion up to Tim that people are listening to the VR podcast. The amount of times I've had to bloody download it and change my IP address.
Oh, that's you, is it? I've got stats, yeah. And there's a lot of listeners, especially in the US, so...
Ah, congratulations, Tim.
Yeah, mainly because I were fooled into thinking a barrel cast.
Yeah.
We'll see how it does on its own. But yeah, thank you very much for the feedback we've had from that. It does seem like people liked your name, and it does seem a bit simpler, Dan. The VRB may be the way we go with that. So there you go. You may not like our show, but you may have named it.
I was due a good idea.
But yeah, speaking of me talking forever about something, I better get on to talking about this thing so that we can actually get the hell out of here. I'll mention on the way in, and it'll kind of make more sense while I'm doing as well, but I also did start playing Mario and Rabbids just before I received a review code for the game I'm coming on for in a minute.
All right.
But I mentioned that on the way in because the two games are a kind of counterpoint to each other. Basically, the one I got a review code for was the Banner Saga, which has been out on a while. Did you speak about this on the show before, Dan, or someone else? I can't remember.
I think we had a review on the site, or it may be another site I worked on. But
yeah, I've definitely, like...
I've definitely edited a review for the Banner Saga at some point in my life.
Anyway, and continuing a reference from last week's show, which you seem to love, Dan, there's a game series that I have admired from afar.
You dirty, dirty man. Again, you're a dirty man, Tim.
Again, this is one that I think I would have liked, but I've just never really picked up on. I think it was on mobile platforms and on consoles previously, and on PC, I think. Am I correct in saying that? I'm not
it's
entirely
been on,
sure.
Just about everything.
I think it's been on just about everything. It's just come to the Switch, and they've just recently announced that the Banner Saga 2 is coming to the Switch as well. And yeah, I literally kind of, because I got a review code for this, I kind of ditched my playing of Mario and Rabbids. I just got into the groove of that a little bit, and they are a slight counterpoint to each other in the fact that Mario and Rabbids was at first a bit too easy and seemed a bit overly simplistic, and then it kind of broadened out a bit. They gave you a few more powers, and it became a bit more challenging, and I found that much better, and I've kind of just got through the first boss and that and stuff like that. Anyway, I'll leave that for another week. But Banner Saga was on the kind of opposite end of that scale. It seemed really difficult at first. It seemed really kind of hard to do. And why I'm mentioning both in the same breath as well, they're both kind of turn-based battle type games, which are very much in my wheelhouse and things that I really enjoy and things that I find really suitable for mobile platforms as well. They're really good to like pick up and play and just kind of, you know, play through a quick battle, and really good second screen games as well, I find, because you're not having to do something active. You can actually pay attention to the thing you're watching on the main screen while also being able to pay fairly full attention to what you're playing. So I like that type of thing. But as I said, Banner Saga going in seemed really difficult. It seems to have like permadeath type stuff, and it seems to have like really crucial decisions that you need to make in the kind of cutscenes that can also have an effect on the party members you have and possibly lose you party members through death or other kind of interactions and stuff like that. I don't know how much of that is definitely a thing. You can definitely get players injured in that, and it's kind of a slight different take almost on the kind of Norse mythology. So it's kind of a nice thing to play on the back of being very interested in God of War as well. But it's kind of got its own thing going on. It's basically, you're bouncing around between, like, the tale is told from the perspective of different parties. And I've only really gone through the first two parties. I don't know if it kind of broadens out from that at all. But, different like main characters can die seemingly within the story of the game, even if you're doing well type thing. But generally also you can get party members injured and you have to kind of manage their injuries, and they won't be as effective in fighting if they're still injured by the time you get to the next battle. You're also having to, like, the banner thing refers to the kind of you get like a party that caravan like of people that like join you, and there's different fighters and things that can join you on your travels, and different general kind of populace. I can't remember what they refer to them as, but just kind of general like people as well as the fighters that help you out. And then there's the kind of main group of characters that you can pick from in actual battles as well. But this kind of caravan has like a banner to it, and the story element is that you're sowing the story.
Hang on, can I just start with you? Did you just take 30 seconds out of my life to say what they've got is a banner, which is a banner?
Well, I'm getting to that. The banner is something.
It's very important, Dan. It's called the Banner Saga.
It's called the Banner Saga. It's where it flows. But it kind of,
which is a saga about banners, I'm guessing.
They're sewing the story of their thing. It's a bit like a tapestry.
Oh, what have you? Oh, Tim, for shame. They're sewing the story as if it was on their banner.
No, they are literally sewing with a needle and thread into the banner, the story as they go.
It's a tapestry.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a metaphor.
No, it's an actual
thing that they're doing.
And it's a story.
It seems to be a metaphor.
Yeah, possibly. But then also, like, as your kind of party or the caravan grows, it seems to get a longer banner as you go type of thing. But then, yeah, you're having to manage the resources to feed all those people as well. And it tells you, like, how much, like, food you have and how many days worth of food you have. And you have to buy more resources as you go. And that kind of feeds into a kind of renown system and all that type of stuff. But, yeah, like, as I said, it's a slightly different take on kind of a sort of Norse-ish mythology. It feels that, like, that kind of thing. And but they've got, like, Vals, who I haven't particularly come across before, but they're like big giants that are very good at fighting, and there's a kind of Vals and humans and the interactions of those, and it kind of, the story is quite deep and really interesting. The art style is like really kind of cartoony, but being like realistically cartoony. If
it's kind of got a sort of Baskin quality to it, like the old animation Lord of the Rings.
That's a good,
which I really like.
Well. Yeah, and I think it works really well. And as I said, like first going in, it seemed really hard and unforgiving. But when you get used to the systems and the way things interact and the way it works, it ends up becoming really engaging and something where you can't just like mindlessly turn off and go into combat, because then you'll get someone injured and that'll cause a big problem and stuff like that. There's lots of like training that you can go through to like level up your characters before you go into fights. And the different towns you get to have like different options available for whether you can buy resources there or not. And every town kind of differs. But then also it does seem that the decisions you make on how you interact with the people in that town can make a difference to the fights you get into and the resources available to you and stuff like that as well. So yeah, it seems like a really deep game. As I said, the first one's just come out on Switch. It is available on other platforms already, and they've just announced that the second one's coming to the Switch soon as well. And I think it'll take me a while to play through the first one, but I'll definitely be interested in picking up the second one when I get through it as well, because it's definitely my type of game, and it's a really well done version of what it is as well. So yeah, a good recommendation.
Yeah,
good on the Switch.
Did you hear that, like, in your caravan that you're traveling around with, right, there's this drunken woman who caused a bit of a problem down the bar? Do you know what they had to do? Banner.
Did that? Oh, damn it! That's gonna happen.
You say that. If you'd have said man, that would have actually been true. There was someone I literally had to like tie to a tree and leave behind because he kept on getting drunk and caused problems for my party.
But there's no such word as ban him. Ban her.
True. Yeah,
ban
her. Okay, that
a little jus de mot.
But yeah, but there you go.
Well done, Tim. You were there also. Well, congratulations.
It was because before you answered, in my head, I was trying to pre-figure out what you were saying. Hey, and in my head, I was working out, right, he's going to link Banner Saga Holidays to something to do with a banner.
There we go.
But that, alas, that did not happen. Tim, what? When you go back to Mario and Rabbids, because I'm not particularly interested in that game, but... Mm-hmm. When you get to the opera scene, can you let me know? Because I really want to see that scene.
The opera scene?
Yes. You'll know it when you see it. Okay, good. Back in the room.
Without spoiling anything for anyone that wants things unspoiled, the first boss in that game is really quite amusing as well. But anyway.
Is it Donkey Kong?
It's the rabid Donkey Kong.
Oh, that's fine. It was in the trailers.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, it was good.
Big model that we took photos with at EGX.
There was that 60-foot tall model thing.
Yeah. Don't spoil it, but there was a 60-foot model of Donkey Kong Rabbit.
It was actually 60-foot. Anyway, yeah, I kind of forgot that we took a photo with it.
Anywho, we really ought to think about going, I think, since time is cracking on. Com's got to edit this thing that we allege is a podcast.
Before we do wrap up, can I say one thing?
No!
I've missed it from the news, and I was meant to put this in last week, and I forgot.
Okay.
I didn't really want to touch on this week, but it looks like my wish is finally going to come true. My dream is finally going to come true when it comes to the brilliant world of No Man's Sky, a game that all three of us seem to liked and got criticized heavily upon release. With the new release of the game and multiplayer is going to be released, and you'll be able to either team up with people or be a pirate or, you know, and do all these different cool kind of things, it looks like I can finally hunt him down to the ends of the galaxy and kill him. So it's
excellent.
It can finally happen, guys. The dream is alive. You got to believe in it to achieve it, as Dizzy Rascal once said.
I'll come back and play, and you can hunt me when they add a VR mode.
Oh, stuff.
Oh, shut up.
See, you've got VR in there. Yeah.
Tim, Tuesday's a Tuesday. Tell us about Tuesdays.
Tuesday is a Tuesday indeed, and this week is a real doozy. In fact, this whole month is a real doozy, including last week. We had some really, really highly rated games, very good games all this month. And that's in the lead up to UK Games Expo, and then we will have excellent games when we come back from that as well. So should be a great couple of months of Tabletop Tuesday. Anyone that doesn't know, each and every week we have a different feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of that game at the end of the evening. And as I said, really good games to win in the next couple of months, so definitely join us. This week's game is a little game called Shards of Infinity, which is a 2-4 player sci-fi deck building game, which ticks a lot of boxes for me, and so I am very interested to see if this is as excellent as I've been told it is. It should be a good one. Come along and play, and you can win a copy just by playing it on the evening. There are more details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com, and you can also join our meetup group, which is on Meetup. Search for Tabletop Tuesdays, and we should pop up. Anyone does know, we are at the Loading Bar in Dalston. Come and join us and possibly win a copy of the game.
Splendid!
Huzzah!
Huzzah!
Lovely!
Yeah, just to be clear, it's only the game you can win if you play with. If you play with anything else that's on your own head and you can't be guaranteed to take it home, unless it's attached to your body already. Okay, yes.
Wonderful!
Marvellous! Anywho, shout outs. I would like to say thank you from the Twitter twits to Darren Betts Graves and Mark Frazier. Fraser.
I would like to thank Robs 0211, although I never trust a man with a number in his name. It's a good rule to live by, but I'll let you off because you're nice.
What?
Anyway, and also Mr. Luis Fierro.
Oh, I was really hoping you were going to complain about numbers again and call him Luis Forera.
Forever and ever.
I think it's
I'm all about the puns
Ferrero
today.
Ferrero Rocher.
Nelly and Richard Kirk.
Hey!
We only got Twitter shout-outs this week. We want more iTunes. We want more website. We want more Facebook, YouTube. Have at it. Go review stuff. Go comment and tell your friends.
internet.web.bigredbarrel/ This is what you need to do.
See, just that's Google. Why we're not getting the comments down, because you're making up nonsense again.
Google Big Red Barrel UK, it pops up. Or BRB UK iTunes pops up if you're an iTunes user. Yeah,
yeah, indeed. So go wend your way over there, and you know, you may hear your name in
lights.
Oh, that's how that works. But anyway.
Also, thank you to all the new people that have been listening on iHeartRadio. That's proved really popular for some reason.
Nice. Does that have a comment section or not?
Awesome.
I have no idea. Like, I'll have to look into that. When we mentioned we were on iHeartRadio, we were like, I've never heard of iHeartRadio. And then the first tweet we got was, I listen to iHeartRadio. But it was only one person that said it. So, yeah.
But still, thank you very much for anyone. Thank you. Wherever you're listening to us, we apologise.
Now, if only we can get on Last FM. Get them Scrubbles.
Mate, you can't empty Scrubble doubles, can Scrubble the doublers.
Surely we...
is all you can do.
We fundamentally have to get on that last, because...
No.
That's how it works.
All right, Google Play, then Last FM.
All right, okay. So anyway, ladies and gents, I do believe that is probably your lot, and we have to disappear. So without further ado, I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
I really have been Coleman.
You have, if for realsies.
Confirmed.
Bell!
Ah!
Well, with the bell comes the end, and it's the end of the show. So
the bell tolls.
Oh, God.
Idiot minds think alike.
Yeah, they do. Right, so that's your lot. Thank you for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.